This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Warren on Joy.
Look, we are delighted to welcome back our next guest into the Joy Studios. She was first elected to the Victorian Legislative Council during the 2014 Victorian state election, and again after Niall Bowden-Waite was successfully re-elected to represent the Northern Metropolitan Region. Fiona Patton, welcome back to Joy.
Thank you. Thanks. It's fabulous to be back.
Well, look, we should start off about, you know, there was very close there for a moment of you winning your seat, and there seemed to be a lot of backdoor preference deals going on. I've read some things saying that you wouldn't get involved or pay this man to organise it. Do we have a problem with our preference, the way we vote?
Look, I think we will be reviewing this. In the matter of Glenn Drury, it's actually under police investigation now, so they're looking at fraud and bribery, because effectively Glenn Drury, who is the chief of staff to Senator Hinch, was saying, pay me money and something good will happen to you. Don't pay me money and something bad will happen to you. So it was kind of, you know, in a very simple form, I mean, that's just extortion. And he said, if you want Darren Hinch's preferences, then you have to pay me $50,000.
And him personally?
Yes, him personally. And then if you want to be part of the family, you have to pay this money. So I didn't join his family. And that did set us back in negotiating with other like-minded parties. However, you know, we still beat his system. But it needs reform. And what I've suggested just the other week in Parliament was that not only does the Parliament review this, but why don't we get like a citizens' jury? So we get a random selection of Victorians to talk about what they'd like to see their democracy look like.
Shouldn't we be doing that a lot more in Parliament? And I don't mean that, because I could imagine in any job, sometimes you get very narrow-minded, or not narrow-minded, but you're on a mission, this is your statement, you're working. It's hard sometimes to look what's happening out in society, so it's probably not a bad thing.
I think it's a really interesting approach to do, because you're right. You're asking politicians who want to get re-elected what they think the system should be. And obviously, you know,
yeah,
you always back the horse of self-interest.
Definitely.
So it would, you know, I guess politicians would be going, well, what's the easiest form of election for me, and how would I get elected?
How to get you re-elected.
Yeah, so I think having citizens actually be part of that process would be really beneficial. And not just in that. I mean, I think there's lots of areas where citizens' juries
definitely
would be helpful, if it's in drug law reform or, you know, in any number of areas.
And I mean, young children, especially in this day and age, I know when mine were growing up, were very politically minded, but always felt locked away from ever having an opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, things like that, bringing young kids into Parliament and finding out what they see Australia's future.
Yeah, look, I think there is a sense that people are disengaged from politics and people don't trust their politicians anymore. So I think, you know, ideas or ways to get people more involved in the process would actually help us in engaging people and possibly in improving trust in the system.
And focusing on policies rather than parties, which you've
done
a lot for your policies, and you've stuck by them in your first term. Which you've seen, and especially the issue now of pill testing and decriminalising drugs. What have you seen happening now within parliaments in different states, our state, and also the nation?
Yeah, so with pill testing, now that we've had four tragic deaths at music festivals in 4 months? Four deaths in 4 months. And then there's the unforeseen consequences of people having a bad effect from a substance that might give them lifelong effects and health problems. So why are governments still allowing this to happen? And I think, you know, I really feel like if the Premier doesn't agree to a trial down here, We've got blood on our hands. You know, we know that pill testing can save lives. Mm-hmm. It can inform and educate people. It doesn't increase the number of people who take drugs. It just makes the people who are taking drugs that little bit safer.
And we know now in society, I mean, the war on drugs has been going 30 years. I mean, in my whole lifetime, it has not worked. I mean, many people now would be taking party drugs as they did when I was back in the
80s. That's right.
But instead, like you said, all we can do is actually protect people.
Yes.
And by taking, like, I mean, I like the whole idea of this decriminalisation of drugs to start with, because who's making the money? When it's illegal, it's the bad people. It's the gangs, it's the mafia, it's the drug smugglers. God, we should be taxing this thing. We could bring our state. We could be paying for every school and hospital in here.
Absolutely. I mean, they estimate that the police estimate that the value of the cannabis industry in Victoria alone is $1.1 billion.
Wow.
And, you know, that is not going towards our roads, our schools, our hospitals, the profit from that. That is going into the hands of organised crime.
So they can buy Ferraris and guns. Yeah.
And that's right, and guns, and we also know that some of that money goes offshore and maybe helping in terrorist activity in other jurisdictions. So you're absolutely right. I mean, we need to have that conversation. But decriminalisation is slightly different. Decriminalisation is saying let's treat drug use as a health issue, not as a criminal one.
As a mental health issue, which is usually if you're taking drugs, usually there's something missing in your life. And if you've got it fulfilled, you're mentally stable, you've got your family back in a good job, you're paying your rent or your mortgage, we really don't take drugs.
That's right. And most of us age out of it at some stage, generally speaking. And 99% of people who do take illicit drugs don't have a problem with taking illicit drugs. They do it to enhance an experience, to, you know, get a new experience or whatever that might be. But most people can take drugs in a careful and relatively safe way.
Gender identity and birth certificates.
Yes.
A lot happening in that space.
Look, it's we should be able to reassess our birth certificates as we reassess our sexuality, or, you know, as we identify as another sex. I'm of this mind, like, why actually do we have our gender on a lot of documents? Like, I think I've said this many times, and I'm probably waiting for the moment when it changes. But no one has asked to see my genitals at the airport when I go through immigration or customs. No one. They look at my face, or they test my eye, or it's a thumb print. So why do I have to have gender on my passport?
I always thought,
or on my driver's license, or on. Well, even on your birth certificate.
Is this patriarchal going back to when men controlled everything and women couldn't own property, you couldn't vote, you couldn't do that?
That's
so
right.
As long as they showed out there, hey, you were born a female, well, you've got no rights.
Right. So if you're not going to treat men and women differently, or anyone from our community, no matter what, where they are on our spectrum, why do we need to identify?
Yeah.
You know, I took it off our membership form because I just found it so offensive that we would have male, female, other.
Mm,
or male,
unsure.
Female, or unspecified, or not sure, or don't want to tell you. You know, so we just got rid of it all.
Now, I've taken a few months away from Joy, 2 months, and we're still talking about this issue, which is a bit upsetting, conversion therapy.
Oh, my God. I know. I don't know that outlawing it, you know, well, effectively it is outlawed, but that doesn't necessarily stop it, and they call it something else, and it's counselling, and we need to just keep exposing it and keep bringing it out and keep exposing the churches, generally speaking, the church groups that are still putting people through this misery and horror of conversion therapy. It needs to be exposed. Whether we need to legislate further, I'd be open to hearing from experts about that, but currently, you know, it's condoned. It's condemned. Mm. And well,
I brought that up with our Premier Daniel Andrews before the last election. It's actually the people who are controlling it are the same people that I'd ring up to make a complaint about my doctor.
Mm.
So it's after the fact. It needs its own. What do we call it? A commission into actually looking to see what's going on, because by having it just under the Health Act, it's not helping.
No, that's right. So the health commissioner or the health complaints commissioner would investigate, and as you say, after the fact. Now, I I don't know, because what we've seen in other jurisdictions where it is outlawed is that it goes underground. Mm. It goes further underground. Now, I think it should be outlawed because it's an appalling, hateful and hurtful and damaging behaviour. So whether we do need a legislative review of it, I would be really open to that. And I would be really open to some form of investigation within the parliamentary process. I think that's probably worthwhile.
Well, look, I mean, so Fiona, now you've got 4 more years.
Mm.
What are you hoping to change? I mean, we look back at your previous term. You were the probably only one up there that actually pushed through legislation. We've got the safe injecting rooms. We've got the safe for sexual health clinics.
Yep.
I mean, we can go through. So what's your next big one?
Well, I've got quite a to-do list, but I really want to continue my work on drug law reform. So I really do want to continue on treating drug use as a health issue, not a criminal one, but also looking at legalising cannabis, as we're seeing in so many other jurisdictions around the world, and how successful that is. So I'd like to move on that. And I certainly talked about flexible working conditions.
The four-day week.
Which I would really love to see a trial done in Victoria of that, to see how it helps with productivity, how it helps with work satisfaction, etc., and loneliness. And I think this was something that we talked that really seemed to strike a chord in the community, was how do we address loneliness? And we know studies now showing that loneliness is more damaging to your health than smoking or obesity. So those are a few of the things. But I've got quite a to-do list, and I'm really looking forward to having 4 years to kind of get things through. It's going to be a big crossbench. Like, there's 11 of us sitting on the crossbench. There's more people on the crossbench than there are Liberals.
Is this going to be good for our Parliament?
I think it's going to be interesting. And I think what we've saw in the last Parliament, which I think was really good, was that the government had to... their legislation was tested.
Correct.
Every time it came to the upper house. So it was tested. And with 11 people, you're going to get a very diverse range of views. And I think that's good. You know, a diverse range of views for... which is quite reflective of our community.
Actually, you're right.
Yeah, I might not agree with them, but they're there.
But then, I mean, it's with anything in life. I get very narrow-minded. Sometimes it's great to have the other 10 people talk to you, because you go, you know what, I never saw it from that position.
And I think absolutely
it's
right.
Going to help. Look, Fiona, thank you again for joining us today in the Joy Studios. Remember to follow Fiona Patton on all social network, because if you would have seen it yesterday, we saw a picture of her hot red boots taking the Mickey out of ScoMo's Photoshop shoes.
Two left feet.
So if you need truth, make sure you follow Fiona Patton on all social medias. Andy will put up all our links. Fiona, look, thank you again for joining us. You're still going to come back and join us this year?
I shall. I'm looking forward to it.
We love having
you
here.
I love these mornings.
And thank you.
Thanks.
Wake up with Tom and Warren, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Available via podcast at joy.org.au, on iTunes, or your favourite podcasting platform. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.